Mitch Stinson, former U.S. Naval aviator and comedian.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Good
Thank
to be back
you.
In Connecticut again.
Nice.
Where are you from?
No one says that.
Actually, I live in Maine. I left 3 days ago on my horse and buggy, and I just
the Amish method.
Yes.
Nice.
Save the environment.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks.
Really. Thank you so much.
It's my honor. Cool. My pleasure.
We want to say this as many times as we can. There's a comedy show tonight, Veterans, for Veterans by Veterans Comedy Night.
Cool.
At Vizzano's Four Seasons in Stratford.
Great place.
This is for Homes for the Brave.
Yep.
And we have a special affection for them. They take homeless veterans off the streets, help them. Give them skills to interview and jobs, to work, and to get them back on their feet. It's a
right
great
thing.
Organization.
And they're amazing people. Amazing people.
Oh, Vince is amazing. Yeah. Like, that guy is something.
Oh, yeah. And dress is nice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were a naval aviator. Like
yes.
a flyer.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm an aviator.
Back in the day.
You're Maverick.
I did it right about the time Top Gun came out. We went to see the movie.
Than that?
Yeah, we were in flight
Actually,
school.
Actually, it's Comet.
In flight school.
I was in flight school when Top Gun came out.
Oh, nice. Did you get one of those speeches like, all right, we don't want any Mavericks over here.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
dial
yeah.
it down.
Yeah, no more Buzz in the Tower. We did anyways.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
Does that happen?
You know, it did in my day. We used to be able to pull that off. We'd get in a lot of trouble. We'd get yelled at. But, you know,
worth it.
I've been yelled at a lot my whole
What's
life.
What's that like, being in a plane? Like,
it's exciting. Yeah, it was fun. It's a young person's job, I'll say that. But I had a great time doing it, and it was something I always wanted to do.
I think the G-Force would squeeze the pee out of you now.
It would squeeze a lot out of you.
Have you ever had anything squeezed out of you?
Oh, yeah.
No need for girlfriends.
Really?
Especially after coming out of port of in Cairo. You can't drink the water in Cairo either.
Oh, no.
And then pull G's. It's not a good thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you'll pull P's, poops.
Yeah. Boom-booms.
How long does it take you to become... to where the Navy says, we're going to let you fly that.
Right.
By yourself, yes.
Yeah, no, it's for me, I did it in the mid-80s or when I went through flight school, and it was a two-year process. So by the time you go through all the commissioning program, I went through a commissioning program with a Marine Corps drill instructor, which was an experience all by itself.
Wow. A lot of yelling.
Oh, lots of yelling, yeah. And they're bullies. They pick on you.
Nice.
But, yeah, no, we had a pretty high attrition rate just out of that alone. I was very lucky. I always tell people, they say, oh, wow, you must be really good. And I'm like, I was very lucky.
Right.
You know, I kind of kept squeezing through the gaps.
Wow.
But it's a two-year process from the time you go into boot camp.
Wow.
And by the time I pinned my wings on, it was something like 20 months.
Wow. Do they push the wings into your chest?
No, my dad did, though. He didn't know that was not the
Came
tradition.
Home late?
I still have the scars, but they don't.
That's
don't
so cool.
Not supposed to.
Are you crapping yourself the first time you bring one of those up on your own?
Yeah, you know what? Interesting. My very first solo in flight school, I'll never forget because I'd never flown an airplane before. I'd been a passenger, but I had never flown until I got into flight school. And the day I soloed the very first time, I did my check flight in the morning. It was the day that the Challenger blew up.
Oh, boy.
January 28th, 1986.
Hell of a day.
Yeah, and I got out of the airplane, and the instructor pilot's like, hey, you did a good job. You can solo this afternoon. And we walked into the ready room, and on the TV, then the shuttle blew up right on TV. And
oh,
it was just like dead silence. And then you kind of take it all in, and then and the guy says, okay, you can go solo now. And I'm like, can I wait a day?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you at 2 o'clock. No.
To make sure nothing blows
up.
Oh,
man.
Can you double-check my plane, please?
Some of you folks patrolled the ocean, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's what I did. I was Navy. So I was carrier-based, and we did – I was an Atlantic Coast
okay,
guy.
Okay, hold
East
it.
Coast guy.
There's one thing about taking off from a nice long runway. There's another thing about taking off from a short runway on a moving runway.
That's a floaty one, yeah.
That's got to be – when the first time you did that, that's got to be – okay, here we go.
It'll cage your eyeballs, that's for sure. The first time I ever did it, and you can't train for it. The first time you ever do it is when you do it, and you do it by yourself.
That's it. Yeah.
But do they put you in a simulator? Do they tell you what to?
No, they tell you what to expect. But ultimately, the only way to do it, because they didn't want to put an instructor in an airplane with a guy who's making his first carrier.
You don't want to lose an instructor.
Yeah, exactly.
That builds confidence.
Instructors are valuable.
That builds confidence.
We need them.
We got plenty of students. The instructors are valuable.
Next. Yeah. All right, we lost one. Next.
Damn. Is there, what's the method that's different on a carrier? Like, you have to gun it, right?
It's a completely different type of flying. So and like you said, for takeoffs, you're pretty much just along for the ride. So you're going from 0 to 140 miles an hour in right around 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds. Yeah. So it'll definitely wake you up. And then, So then when you're landing on the ship, you know, that's the real challenge, obviously, because it's not a 12,000-foot runway. It's, you know, 300 feet long or... I don't know what it is now. I'm old. I forget all my numbers. But it's a different type of flying. So you're flying the airplane at a different attitude, and your glide slope corrections, obviously. In my day, you'd have like 10 feet hook to ramp clearance, they used to call it. So when you come across the back of the ship, you know, you're only clearing the back of the ship by 10 feet, you know, 130 miles an hour. So you wanted to be paying attention.
I'd be like Angry Birds. Boom.
Oh, boom.
Flash.
Wow. That's nuts.
That's totally crazy.
Well, it was the nighttime stuff that was the scary. Daytime was
fun. I was just going to ask you, have you ever landed a plane on an aircraft carrier at night?
Yeah, I did it over 100 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and it's hard to explain to people because your concentration level is so intense. So for that last, like, 60 seconds of the flight, you
can't think, like, what's for lunch today?
Nothing. Right, you're thinking nothing but flying the airplane, and you're not moving your body a whole lot. You just got the controls in your hand, and you're kind of just working the throttles back and forth and concentrating so intensely, and you don't want to mess up because it's just a bad scene.
What do you see? Are you looking at your instruments, or are you looking at the ship?
So at nighttime or in bad weather, you're flying an instrument approach just like you would at an airport. And then
it's a lot of trust.
Yes, it is. And in about 3/4 of a mile. And that's why actually one of the big things they teach you. You got to trust your instruments because you get vertigo. I remember one time I was coming out of the clouds at night.
That happened
and it
to
was
JFK
stormy.
Jr. Yeah.
Yes. And the feeling, like when I came out of the clouds and I was looking at the back of the ship, and at nighttime, it's nothing but a few small little lights. At 3/4 of a mile, that's it.
Nuts.
Yeah. And
nuts.
I came out of the clouds and I literally felt like I was upside down. Like, oh my God, how did we get upside down? The vertigo was that bad.
Wow.
But you had, because you're transitioning from inside the airplane, your instruments, and all of a sudden there's the ship and you're like, oh, we're all upside down. We must be south of the equator or something.
And you look at your instruments.
Hey, man.
And then you go back and now you go to the outside scan and it's a famous thing, you know, meatball lineup angle of attack. You're looking at a meatball, which gives you your glidance or your glide slope. Your lineup, obviously, you don't want to land right or left because you don't have any room. There's airplanes parked on both sides of the foul line.
Oh.
You know, you got about 3 feet of clearance on each
side. It seems
like
something you wouldn't want to do even if you had to. Like,
you know what's
funny?
You
know, if you're crashing.
I remember doing it at night one time, and I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, why would you do this?
Why would I want to do
this? You volunteered for this.
That's nuts. So have you ever landed one on an aircraft carrier at night with a lot of waves?
Oh, yeah.
So or rain, even. Like, just anything.
Seas. Yeah.
Are you guys going to get me going on sea stories? I can go all day. I came in one night. We were off the coast of Turkey, of all places, and it was a heavy thunder and lightning storms going on. It was night. It was the waves were high, 25-foot seas.
Wow.
The ship's moving.
25.
Yeah.
That's big.
Foot seas.
Yeah. And the Kennedy, I was on the Kennedy, and the Kennedy had this thing called the Dutch roll, so it'd go up and down in the waves, and then every now and then it'd kick a little left and a little right. You wouldn't know it. You couldn't see it at night. Yeah.
Doing the Dutch roll.
So I remember I come out and I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I got aboard, but I remember looking at my co-pilot. My co-pilot was hilarious because he was brand new. And as I came, the ship was moving away, and I made a big correction, and I didn't want to hit the island, you know. And I came in, and I looked just out of the corner of my eye. I saw my co-pilot holding on to the dashboard like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He's like, oh man, he looked like he had a devil suit on. He's laughing the whole thing. And
wow. Major correction.
Yeah, major corrections.
Boy, if he didn't,
I'd be like, I'm done.
You wouldn't be here now.
Okay, we're done.
Wow. You know, I have a lot of adrenaline going and pumping when I get off a roller coaster.
No.
I mean, what is that like when you got the flight suit on, you got your helmet on, you climb out of that jet, you just landed at night on the aircraft carrier?
It's, you know, it's a great question, and I'll tell you why. Because you're concentrating so intense, especially at night. And then you know, you go into the maintenance control afterwards, the jet's parked, you're out, you're in the maintenance control, and you're filling out your paperwork. Well, the adrenaline's going so high that your hands can't stop shaking.
That's wild.
Yeah, so your hands are shaking.
Like a seismograph.
And the maintenance guys would always laugh at us. Like, you want to take a few minutes? And I'm like, yeah.
Mitch was 23, 24. Were you a fighter pilot?
I flew E-2 Hawkeyes. So that's the carrier-based AWACS airplane. It's the one with the dome on the top of it. It's a crewed-up airplane. I did fly jets, obviously, as an instructor pilot, and then you train in jets to get to that position. So I had a lot of jet time as well as an instructor. But that airplane was challenging in the sense that it was the largest wingspan coming aboard, so we didn't have a whole bunch to play with on either side when you landed.
You trade paint?
Yes. Yes, and other parts.
What did you do? Why is there white on the side of
Yeah, we had a Geico representative right on the ship.
Bring the claims.
You had a wild occurrence at a comedy show where you were talking about your experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually bizarre.
Was there a guy you bombed there?
No, no, thank God, no. I got bombed with.
Okay, over there, cool.
No, I was doing a show, and I served on the John F. Kennedy, and so I had mentioned it during my act, and a guy, you know, kind of clapped out, and he said, I was on the Kennedy, you know, and I went back and forth with him, which I don't normally like to do when I'm on stage.
Yeah, yeah, you never know how that's
going
to go.
Yeah, you never know how that's
going
to go.
Stuff going on, yeah.
But he was a plane captain on the Kennedy, which they're the guys that service the airplanes and get them all ready to go for the flight ops and all that stuff. At the same time, I was on board, and I said to the audience, I said, hey, give this guy a round of applause. I said, that's probably one of the most dangerous places in the world to work. A flight deck of a carrier, there's airplanes moving. It's a dangerous spot. Loud.
And incoming.
No one can see you.
Right. Props moving, jets pulling people. You know what I mean? It's a dangerous spot. And the guy goes, yeah, tell me about it. I got blown overboard.
Oh.
And it's a true, but here's the weird part.
You did it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Whoops, my bad. Yeah.
I was right there. I turned to him and I said, I saw that. I remember when that happened. And he kind of looked at me and I said, you got blown over by an A6. He goes, it was an A7. I'm like, well, the A6 was in my way. I didn't know which guy. But he had chain downs on his shoulders. And as he got blown, when the ship's
what
turning,
is that?
So they chain the airplanes down on the carrier. So when they're getting ready to go flying, they're pulling the chains off and they throw the chains over their shoulders as they run around the airplane. And this poor kid got literally, the ship was turning and the engines were coming up on the guy taxiing out in an A7. And he got behind the engine and he turned on him and he got behind the engine and it just, whoop, he was like a feather. He just went off the side. And I watched
with
the
chains
whole thing
on.
Happen.
That's got to be fun.
With chains on.
Oh, not good for swimming.
Wow.
And do you know what I remember
not
the most?
Not good for swimming.
No, it's not.
You know what I remember the most is, it, to your point, is as he was going off, because everything goes in slow motion, right?
Right.
As you're watching this.
Your
guy,
adrenaline kicks in.
And I'm watching, and all the way down, it's a 60-foot drop, all the way down, he's pitching the chains off his shoulders.
Good move.
Right?
Good
he's
move.
Literally, but who would have the sense to do that?
A person about to die?
I mean, person wants to float.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm watching him, and of course, I got my, you know, as the ship sails by him.
I wonder if that's part of the training.
Well, they do.
Yeah. If you get blown over with chains,
release
get them
the
off your shoulder.
Yes. Release the chains.
Step number one, remove all heavy objects.
Step number two, untie shoes.
Is that insane? You see this guy in a comedy club.
And he's in the crowd.
It's the guy.
And he's alive.
And the guy
right,
I was
and
with,
he's alive.
And he's alive.
And he's still wearing chains.
He's not like, yeah, you're not being haunted.
Right? Yeah. Like, Jacob Marley,
yeah, like,
how you doing?
Like Marley, yeah, with the chains, right? So, so he was at the show, and I said, you know, my buddy's the one who called the man overboard drill, and the helicopter was right on top of him. He was back on the ship within, like, 5 minutes.
Nice.
From the time he went over to the time he was back on the ship, he looked a little angry.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you idiot who blew me off this ship. He was back on the carrier within 5 minutes, so...
Wow.
A true testament to, like, the professionalism, the people. And that's why I'm so excited about the show tonight, because these people I've served with are some of the most amazing people on the planet.
Yeah, what a great show.
Yeah,
and,
I'm excited.
You know, it's to benefit veterans who volunteered to serve our country.
It's a win-win
came
situation
back
here, yep.
And not having a great time of it right now.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of things going on. And real quick, too, I'd love to mention, they also helping their families out. And that's one thing, because the veterans get all the press and everything, and they should. They should for what they've done. But their families make such huge sacrifices.
So
Homes for the Brave helps the families out. You're keeping kids that might be going through a tough time because dad or mom is struggling with what they went through.
Yeah.
And they're helping them out. They're feeding them. They're keeping them off the streets, and they're helping them to move forward rather than stagnate there.
So great organization.
It's going to be a great show too. Lots of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you headlining? Or where are you?
Yeah, I'm headlining. I'm with Scotty Lombardo, who I knew. He was on the Roosevelt, and they call it a plank owner. So it's the first, when the Roosevelt was a brand new carrier, he was one of the first crew. And I did the sea trials for it, for the Roosevelt. So he was on the same ship I was.
What's a sea trial? Like you're the first crew on?
Yeah, the first crew on, and the ship's doing its actual first breakout. So we made the very first carrier landings on the Roosevelt.
That's badass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's like, I hope they put in a good runway.
Yeah, right.
And real quick, too, so they had, I think, Teddy Roosevelt's like great-great-grandson on the ship.
Okay.
That's cool.
And they put him in the back of a Tomcat, and he was going to do a catapult ride down. And
catapult ride.
Yeah,
intentionally, right?
It's like the rubber.
Yeah.
It's like
it was intentional. Right. Yeah.
Here, hold this for a second.
He volunteered. Wow. And so he went off, but he had his microphone stuck on, so everybody in the airwing could hear him, and he was screaming all the way down.
Oh, I'd scream so high only dogs could hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great-great-grandson of Teddy Roosevelt.
That's great.
Did not speak softly.
So, yeah, Scotty was on board there then, and we didn't know it until we met. Yeah, and I know Scotty through the Boston comedy scene. And then we have Quentin Davis, who's a National Guard, and he's actually active. So it's a show by veterans, and then I'll close it out because, you know, I was the Navy, my Navy background. So all three of us are veterans. This is very important, all three of us. That's super cool. Excited to be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How did you adjust when you get out? I mean, it's like Rambo, you're flying this, you know, billions of dollars of stuff and this, and then you get home and, you know, you're in the supermarket pushing a car through.
Yeah, weird. Peaked adrenaline every hour of the day.
Well, you're one of the most important people on the planet, and you're doing this very, you know, they say the hardest thing to do on planet Earth is to land a plane on an aircraft carrier at night. And you did that over 100
or
times.
Or a shopping cart on Saturday.
Or,
yes, that's
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Get past all those people.
Yep. But then now you're home. And yeah,
it's a change in pace, for sure. And you know what? They used to say, we're cocky. You guys are cocky. And I'm like, yeah. And then, but you know what?
Better be.
You have to be.
You'll get humbled pretty quick in the parking lot with the shopping cart.
Exactly, you know? Right.
And it's a good thing, too. Right. So
yeah, but we don't want people out there flying who are like, hey, I'm not sure if I'm the best.
Yeah,
no, I want the guy who thinks they're the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So sure.
So you would land and take off from a carrier, and you had to you had an interesting takeoff.
Oh, yeah. I was on what was called an alert. So I was on alert 5. So that was basically the design of that was is that you would be ready to launch within a 5-minute period if you had a threat coming into the battle group. So you're sitting in the airplane. It's the engines are not running, but you got 5 minutes to get them up, turning, and right off the catapult. So it was bad weather. We were off the coast of North Carolina and Cape Hatteras. And we had
on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, we were out at sea.
That's unreal.
And back in those days, the Soviet Union, we were still a Cold War back in those days, and they would take off out of Cuba and do simulated bombing runs on us. So you'd have to get up and intercept them as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So
You've intercepted Soviet Union planes.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird.
It's right from the friggin' movie.
The first time.
It is.
But like you lived a movie.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I wasn't as good.
Well, they aren't either.
It's Hollywood.
But singing You Love That Lesson. Yeah, that's on there. Yeah. You Love That Love and Feeling.
Yeah, we were good for a little while in happy hour. I just remember that it was thundering and lightning, and the waves were actually breaking over the bow of the ship, and I'm thinking to myself,
wow. Over the bow.
That's big waves.
So you're talking huge waves. The ship's moving, 30-foot-plus seas. And I remember just sitting there going, oh, man, I hope they don't launch us. I hope they don't launch.
Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please,
I do
please.
Not want to launch. Oh,
please,
right?
Like please,
going,
please.
Yeah, please, please, please,
yeah,
please,
please. A lot of begging,
mommy, please,
a lot of
please.
Praying.
Right.
And as soon as it's out of my head, it's like on the catapult, launch them, launch them, launch the alert.
It comes through the radio.
Damn it!
And I'm like, no,
God damn it!
Are you looking out the window right now?
I think it's pretty bad.
And so
when that jet engine fires up, man, that's got to be something.
Yeah. So you get going and you're running through your checks and you're doing all this stuff and you're going, oh, man, don't launch me into the water. Don't launch me into the water. So it was really funny. So I'm ready to go. I got the power up, the whole deal, and right before they launch me off the catapult, the air boss comes over the radio and he goes, off the catapult, give me a hard right-hand turn. We got a water spout off the port bow. And I'm
water
like,
spout.
Yeah. Like, which is like a water tornado.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, boy, I get to fly into a tornado now, right?
Oh, joy, build up psych. So,
just what I wanted.
You got a second water spout in the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of water flowing in the cockpit, exactly.
That's a job you
I
can't
say. I made pee-pees.
I don't think so, boss.
Yeah. So, yeah, you don't want to quit then. Yeah, you get in trouble. But so I gave him my best right-hand turn, and, you know, somehow we cleared it. So we launch up, and, you know, the kicker of the story was we launch up, and we're expecting the Soviets inbound, right? We got to go out and intercept them, make sure they don't get close to the ship, the whole deal. And then we found out through intel that the Soviets had canceled for bad weather. Oh. I'm like, oh.
Oh, I'm so glad
they
you
had
guys,
sense.
So,
so
either we're smart,
sense.
Either we're braver, or they're smarter. You know, yeah. It's one of those things.
Column A and column B.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy crap! Have you turned them around before?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was like a
day.
Common occurrence.
Yes, it was. That was the Cold War stuff, and you know, we'd intercept and we'd do, you know, simulated war at sea exercises against their shit. They do it against us. It was a funny games, man. Funny games.
Yeah, I mean, turn them back. You like have a big sign that says, you know, turn around wrong way.
Well, there was, you know, a lot of it was good natured too, because you'd wave to the Soviet pilot.
It's like, hey, we're just doing our jobs.
Yeah, you are too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
But then during high tension times, things would get a little insidious. Like sometimes, like I remember talking to a Tomcat crew, and they said that guy tried to put us in the water, and I'm like, really? The, you know, you join up on the airplane and he'd slowly descend towards the water and do a turn in you to see if he could get you to drag yourself into the water. And I'm like, ooh, that's dirty. That's dirty.
That's you give him the finger instead.
Yeah. But you always have to be careful. Don't want to start a nuclear war.
No, of course not.
No, you don't want to be that person.
No. Right? It's like, be careful. Right.
Everything was great until Mitch flipped that pilot off.
Yeah. Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah. We're all living the dream.
That thanks,
Irish,
Mitch.
Thanks, got that Mitch Irish temper.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mitch.
You seem pretty tall to be inside of a plane. Was that a problem for you?
You know, what's interesting is I literally just fit. So they do all these measurements before you even go to flight school. So
oh, wow.
Anthropometric, I think. I can't pronounce it. But yeah. They measure from, like, your back to your knees to your feet, from your back, you know, the lower end of your back to the top of your head, all that stuff. And if you fit within the windows of all their airplanes, then you can fly.
And you just made it?
I just made it.
Wow.
So I'd close a canopy on a jet when I was an instructor, and I'd have to turn sideways to get the canopy down. And then once the canopy was down, I could kind of turn back.
You
and...
are not claustrophobic.
No.
Yeah.
The flight surgeon told me one time, he says, make sure you don't eject because you might lose your legs. I'm like, well, thank you.
Thank you
for the safety tip, Doc.
Yeah, appreciate that.
If you eject, you lose the plane, and then you get court-martialed immediately.
Well,
really?
Yes.
Depending,
that sucks.
Right?
It wasn't a court-martial. It was called a FNAV, which was a fitness evaluation for Naval Aviation Board. So, yeah, you sat at the end of the
you
long...
You basically went right
you
to court.
You sat at the long end of the green table, he used to say. So.
Yeah.
It didn't mean you necessarily did anything wrong. But right.
If the plane it has a malfunction, you got to get out.
Yeah, there were certain
circumstances. Yeah, you gave me a piece of junk. That happens, yeah.
So it didn't necessarily mean you did anything wrong, but yeah, you definitely didn't want to throw 30, $40 million airplanes in the ocean.
$30 or $40 million.
Right. That's bad, right?
Yeah. Oh man! Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for your service to the country.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you'll be back.
Oh, you got to come back, man.
Thank
if you're
so
ever
much.
In Connecticut, but we got your phone number now, so you're stuck with us.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna bug the snot out of you.
I'll tell you about how I threw potatoes at people. I mean,
oh good, yeah.
Nice.
Mitch Stinson, former U.S. Naval aviator, comedian, performing tonight at the 6th Annual For Veterans, By Veterans Comedy Show at Fasano's Four Seasons in Stratford. We're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.